This segment of the program is brought to you by NutriShop, and the NutriShop here in Knoxville is located at 107 Moss Grove Boulevard. It's owned by VFL Kyle Spicer, who played offensive line under Philip Fulmer, and he wants to help you with your health and fitness goals at NutriShop. They get the InBody scan. You can do that for free. It's not one of those big capsules that makes you claustrophobic or anything like that. You just stand on the little scale thing.
It doesn't make you claustrophobic, but if you are claustrophobic, you don't have to do that one.
I said that incorrectly, is what you're saying.
Well, we have another sponsor who does have those, and we don't want people to think that those are necessarily bad. What I'm getting at.
Yeah.
So if you are claustrophobic,
this one's easy.
Yeah.
And free.
Unconstricting. Non-constricting, whatever it is.
And then Kyle will match your needs up with the products that you need there.
And do they have products.
Yeah. Make sure you're happy with them.
Sports nutrition, weight loss, vitamin, general health supplements, whatever you need. Pre and post workout. I know Davey's doing that thing where you snort the pre-workout.
Did you see that video yesterday?
Of the girl?
Snorting the
Yeah. I thought about you, actually, when I saw that.
Mm. I do not actually snort pre-workout.
Then what is that that you snort in the bathroom?
Just in general?
I hear you in there sniffing. I figure that was your pre-workout.
That's just 100% whey protein powder. Highly absorbable through the nasal cavity.
Gotcha. That's smart. I thought your nose looked stronger. That's good. Good for you.
The nose play.
Available at NutriShop.
107 Moss Grove Boulevard and the two locations in the Mid-State, Cool Springs, Franklin, and Murfreesboro. So if you're listening in the greater Nashville area, stop in and give NutriShop a try today. All these NFL players are either cutting weight, trying to get faster, or trying to bulk up, depending on what their needs are for the NFL draft. And we're talking about Robert Gillespie being... cut ties with here at Tennessee, an NFL draft analyst that we mentioned yesterday said criminally underused for John Kelly. Another one like Alvin Kamara. They're all making the comparisons. Now, the NFL loves to do this, Houston. They love to kind of overcorrect. Do you think just because he's a Tennessee running back, I mean, it's good for John Kelly, right?
Yeah, very good.
But I'm not sure... criminally underused. Didn't Tennessee just run him into the ground some of those early games, though, to make sure that they... Or am I misremembering that? Like, I guess I can look up the stats. I mean, it...
No. In fact, I feel like I remember vividly he got light work in a lot of the first halves, but then he got, pretty decent work in the second half because we were trailing in most games. But I seem to remember, Ty Chandler and Fields and me coming in fairly early. Especially, I think in UMass, he only got a couple of snaps in the first half. And then they realized, later that, oh, gosh, we're really going to need this guy if we want to have a chance to win. I don't remember what he finished with as far as carries. And obviously he missed a game there due to the suspension against Kentucky. Again, he probably could have put up some just massive numbers. But I don't know that I would say he was criminally underused. I do think he was mismanaged. I do think that they used him in strange times. I mean, I think we all remember the Florida game. You get first and goal from the 12-inch line, and you throw it three times instead of just handing the ball to John Kelly because they, quote, gave you a look you didn't like. That to me is more of the mismanaging that I saw. And then, when he got his carries in games, didn't always seem to make the most sense.
Yeah, he got, he had 24 touches against Georgia Tech.
You needed every one of them because he was the go-to.
He was 19,
and that was an overtime game. He got a couple extra touches in that one, if I'm not mistaken.
19 carries for 128, and that one had a really good game. Indiana State, he carried the – I think we were complaining in that one he got the ball – we were complaining in some of those bad games he got the ball too much in those, and I think he didn't get the ball enough in some of Tennessee's big SEC losses. Like on the road at Florida, when you carry the ball 14 times for 141, an average of 7.5 per carry, and you don't get the ball at some of those crucial points in the game, that's killer. He did catch the ball 6 times for 96, so he had a monster game in the swamp.
Wait, what did you have him at rushing for the Florida game?
19 for 141.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a game where he's, obviously crushing it, maybe getting him a couple. I mean, the big one is the goal line, right, where you ended up turning it over. I mean, that's a place where you've got to get it to your best player, and this season it was pretty obvious, especially at that point in the year, that John Kelly was your best player.
Late in the season, they couldn't block anybody, so I'm not sure it would have even mattered.
No, that's true.
You know,
that's
like,
true.
If you feed him the ball more at Missouri or Vanderbilt at home, like, it's not going to matter. Like, by that point, the season was over. It was toast.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I guess as I look at kind of the end of game rushing numbers, they don't look terrible. You know, you mentioned you couldn't block Missouri and you got down big early, so you had to throw it a bunch. He had 9 rushes, but then he had 6 catches. He tied for a season high, same as the Florida game. So, like, I mean, you could see that they tried to feature him, but I don't know. It seemed like, for example, I think if you give John Kelly proper managed carries and receptions against Florida, you probably win that game. I think if you give him properly managed carries and receptions against South Carolina, you probably win that game. If he, and this is on him, but if he doesn't get suspended, if maybe you have better leadership above him and he's not feeling like the season's over, maybe you have him for Kentucky and you probably win that game. The rest were probably going to be losses no matter what. Maybe Vanderbilt, because you started pretty well against Vanderbilt and then just kind of couldn't figure it out. But I think there's at least, you know, two wins on the schedule get you to a bowl game if John Kelly's managed a little bit differently. I do think that there's a lot of recency bias with the, oh, well, look at what Alvin Kamara did. All these Tennessee running backs are underutilized and underdeveloped. But I also think you could probably go back to individual times in almost each game and say, what the hell were they doing here?
Yeah, we were talking about Gillespie. I mean, they had one of the best backfields in the country. Josh Dobbs' senior season. I mean, Hurd, that's the year Hurd quits. Kamara is definitely underutilized, and Kelly probably could have gotten the ball more in some of the games that were, you know, if Tennessee plays a little better, puts some teams away quicker in that season,
mm-hmm.
Kelly gets some more run. Hurd and Kamara are extremely fresh, and like that offense really shouldn't have been. I think one day you're going to look back on that offense and say, how in the hell did this offense not just tear everyone up all season? Like, how did this offense go so much in the tank? And obviously, once Hurd, like, refuses to go back in the game and kind of quits, and you have all those dynamics, you get it. But to go back to the start of that season thinking, like, look at this backfield.
Yeah.
Dobbs can keep it. Hurd can pound it. Kamara can get to the edge. John Kelly can come off the bench in some games where we don't need to even risk Kamara getting nicked up. And of course he did. Of course, you know, they couldn't figure out a way to keep him healthy. I mean, you're ending up with a guy who's, you know, solidly in the NFL as a backup quarterback, and a guy who is torching the NFL level, and a guy who then got so sick of the situation he just left.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Travis Cabbage tweets in and says, if you remember back to the South Carolina game in 2016, he was averaging 10 yards a carry in the first half of that game and was given the ball 2 to 3 times in the third quarter. Travis says he'll always remember that one. I remember that game because Hurd, I think Kamara was hurt. Hurd pulls himself out of the game, and it's Carlin Fields and me, the freshman, that goes in. And he obviously, Nate, you mentioned that specific play earlier when talking about Gillespie. He goes in and makes a pretty big mistake. I mean, that was the norm for a Butch Jones team, is you have a hot hand and then you don't ride him, or you have a matchup that you could exploit, but because the offensive system kind of isn't built that way, you refuse to exploit it and just kind of keep playing the game out. I mean, this wasn't new, and so I think we're thinking about last year a lot, but I think you can look back to probably, you know, his sophomore year and say the same thing. Wow, that's a guy who probably could have helped you out that year, especially late in the year against the Vanderbilt and South Carolina games that if you win, you know, you're going to Atlanta. But at that point, obviously, you know, Hurd was gone against South Carolina. They didn't really know what to do offensively against Vanderbilt after the first half. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair assessment from a draft analyst to say, yeah, this guy, he's pretty good. And as is the case with most of the guys that come out of Tennessee, he's a little underdeveloped and a little mismanaged in his collegiate appearances.
Yeah, it was Chris Landry who was talking about John Kelly. Says he's a potential draft sleeper. He doesn't have the talent of Alvin Kamara, but like several other Tennessee running backs before him, he has a chance to be a better pro than he was in college.
Awesome. Love that that keeps happening.
Kelly is an explosive playmaker who was criminally underused by the Vols, and his versatile skill set still allowed him to tally over 1,000 total yards and 9 touchdowns in 2017. He currently projects as a late day 3 selection, but a strong pro day and showing at the combine could see that stock rise.
Do we think he works his way up? Do we think that somebody takes the Alvin Kamara situation and thinks, we'll take a sleeper on Kelly? And maybe takes him around early than expected?
I don't.
I mean, Brugler had him as the 10th best running back in the draft. I don't know what the outlook is for running backs in the draft. I know obviously they go later, except Saquon, who we all think will go in the first round. But I just wonder, you know, we're talking about the recency bias with writing about John Kelly. I wonder if the recency bias of, well, look at what Kamara did. Look at what he did in Rookie of the Year. Maybe these Tennessee guys just are really good and just don't know how to play football yet, but once we get them here and get them the ball, they'll soar.
Day 3 feels right to me. And maybe, you know, if he's able to...
Is round 4 start on day 3? Is it 1,
yes.
2, 3, and then 4 through 7?
4 through 7. I mean, that's a wide range. I'm probably going to be accurate there.
I
mean,
yeah. Like, no, yeah, I'd agree.
Like, I don't think he gets into the top 3 rounds. I'm not even sure the 10th running back goes in the third round.
Absolutely killed it.
Yeah, that's not unless he does something just outrageous.
He's breaking all the rookie all the records for running
backs. Yeah, I mean he won't do that. He won't do that running behind Saquon Barkley.
And this class is just stacked. I mean, if it's a different year, then maybe he goes a whole round higher. I mean, you know, Barkley, Geis, Ronald Jones, Freeman, Michelle, Chubb, Kerryon Johnson. I mean, there's 3 running backs in the SEC right there that are going to go ahead of him.
I have heard a lot of analysts say that Cameron Petway, well, not a lot, like 2, Cameron Petway, he's not, there's some issues surrounding him.
I don't even have him on the list here. So,
just another SEC running back more to throw out there.
Crazy, yeah. Actually, the list I'm looking at has Bo Scarborough listed behind John Kelly. They're a dime a dozen. I mean, unless you're special, as like Alvin Kamara showed, Kareem Hunt, I think, showed he's in trouble, by the way. And then Saquon Barkley, obviously, I think he and Geis have like skill sets that aren't there. But at some point, it's just a sabermetrics thing with the running backs. It's like, okay, this guy I could take in round 4 is almost the same as the guy I can take in round 7. So I'll go get another pass rusher, or I'll go get a different position where there's a little more of a difference.
No, I don't know. Obviously, I don't think we think John Kelly is like as good as Alvin Kamara. I was just curious as to kind of what their stats looked like in their junior year. But that looks like it's going to be almost impossible for me to find. Oh, no, maybe not. Hey, oh, hang on 1 second. Let's see. As a junior, Alvin Kamara had 103 carries for 596 yards. John Kelly, best of that.
What yeah, I mean, if you want to say criminally underused, it was like Alvin Kamara wasn't even close.
Yeah, I mean, at least Kelly got his year to kind of be the starter, right? To be the guy. I think at this point you've seen more of Kelly. Like, there's more data to prove that he's pretty good, but yeah, like he... I mean, I guess he flashes some, but he doesn't flash quite like Kamara does. I'm trying to think, like, John Kelly's best game was what? Probably the Florida game this year?
Yeah.
When he was taking screens, 70-something yards, and kind of like slow-playing guys in the open field, hopping over dudes, stiff-arming people.
Yeah, I mean, he almost had 250 yards total in that game. It's crazy. He had 230, almost 240, right at 240.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Insane. And that's a pretty good. I mean, that Florida defense like held other teams down, and the team in general wasn't very good, but that defense was projected pretty well. So I don't know. We'll see. I just hope he gets gets drafted so that he's made a priority, so he gets
they're also basically the same size, which is interesting.
Combine's coming up later this month. Of course, the NFL draft in April, so we'll keep tabs on that. Hit a quick break. Get back into some other topics on the flip side. Stay with us right here. Tennessee, despite going 4-8, still...
There were some positives.
Still.
The fans!
This fan base has always got the Vols covered.
Next!
Well, this fan base has still got it. Not criminally underused here on Rocky Top. I don't know, maybe.
No, just check, criminally underserved.
Checker kneeling.
Underserved, man. We're paying for top shelf and getting the well drinks. Mm-hmm. We're paying for filet and getting ground beef. We're paying for king crab and getting imitation crab stick. We're paying Ferrari prices and driving
a Pinto.
A Pinto. Couldn't think of a bad car there for a second.
I don't even know what a... Like, that used to always be what we'd say as kids.
We want a trip to Wally World, and they were closed. That's Tennessee fans. Driving across the country, doing everything they can possibly do, then they get there. Oh, sorry, football team's closed. Check back next year. The SEC had 11 schools ranking the top 30 in attendance in 2017. Alabama averaged 101,722 fans per home game. Seven home games for Alabama. A&M, 98,802. That's actually pretty impressive. I guess they started a little better than some. LSU, because it's LSU, 98,506. And fourth in the SEC and seventh nationally. Seventh nationally in a 4-8 season. 4-8. Tennessee, seven games, 95,779 average. Georgia, with the best season in school history that did not end in a national championship. Only 92,746. Six home games for Georgia.
Sad.
Embarrassing.
This is attendance, not tickets sold.
This is attendance, is what it says.
Yeah.
Attendance.
Okay.
Then Florida, 86,000. Auburn, 86,000. South Carolina, 16th nationally. Not bad. 78,586. Will Muschamp doing work. Arkansas, 23rd nationally. Ole Miss, 26th nationally. And Mississippi State. Again, these are 11 of the 14 SEC schools finishing in the top 30 in attendance. Number 27, Mississippi State, 58,000 per game. But Tennessee fans continue to show up and show out despite being served just absolute garbage for football for the last, decade. It's been a decade. Chad Byers tweets in, says, not only have we been underserved, we've been overused.
Yep.
Used for the dollars, stripped of your coin and cash in order to fund the exuberant buyouts of these idiot coaches who have no idea what the freaking clue they're doing, not to mention university presidents, chancellors, and athletic directors who continue to get the job due to their ability to raise and make money, and yet the actual athletics at the university among the worst in the league, top to bottom. Luckily, Rick Barnes and Holly Warlick doing their part to at least take Tennessee up on the Director's Cup or whatever the hell they call that thing, trying to get some success, the weeklies typically, but as we all know, football makes the money, football makes the wheel spin, and football's been a pretty big disaster for the last decade. Hopefully, Philip Fulmer can get things going in the right direction, but Jeremy Pruitt certainly has his work cut out for him at no fault of his own at this point.
Did you see that attendance across the board is way, way down?
I did see that. College football's largest one-season decline in the last 34 years. Man, I just think going to games has lost its luster. I think that the, frankly, sports fans are very active on social media. Would you guys not agree with that? Sports
very
fans
much so.
On Twitter, right? Because you kind of get to connect with fans even more so than you do actually being with a group of fans at a game. I just think that the sports experience has changed. I think that being in a bar, being at home with a group of people, and being able to tweet with good Wi-Fi and look at video and replays and all of that has just really caused some people to say, you know what, maybe instead of buying tickets at $75 to $100 a piece, maybe I'll just go and spend half that money on a couple of drinks with buddies and be able to enjoy it with cell service, Wi-Fi, and the ability to talk to others about the game. I think it's an important move for college football, really all sports kind of moving forward. You've got to be better with the fan experience in-house if you want to attract people to your stadium. Look at what Atlanta did when they built the new stadium down there. Beers are $4 or $5, hot dogs $2, burgers $3, fries are $2. They're trying to get people to come back to the games, and they're trying to make the fan experience really worthwhile. They're going to give you good Wi-Fi. You're going to have great cell service. I mean, it's weird because it seems like it's happened so quickly, but it's 2018, man. Like, if you go to the game and your phone's useless, like, people just don't know how to do that. They don't know how to operate now if they can't use their phone for the things that they typically use it for. So I'm not really surprised. That, and frankly, stadiums, they've just continued to raise prices on everything in stadiums around the country forever. And at some point, you begin to price out kind of the common fan. And I think you're going to see a lot of this moving forward. What Tennessee has proposed, what Scott Strickland now at Florida has proposed, which is they're not going to call it downsizing, they're going to call it right-sizing, where you're going to see some of these 100,000-plus seat stadiums shrink. They're going to go down into the 90s, the high 80s, so that, you know, it's nice that they can upgrade amenities and that the people who do go there make sure they have a great time. But I think that they've priced themselves out, and then you get there and you're wondering, why the hell did I pay $100 to sit in the sun with no Wi-Fi and watch a game I could easily watch from my couch and get, you know, multiple replays and better angles?
Wright Waters is the current Sun Belt Conference commissioner, and I think he has it right. He says it's the technology issue. The public is ahead of us every day in what they can get from technology, and we have not been able to keep up. I mean, to me, that makes sense. Like, there's, I mean, you mentioned, like, being able to be connected while you're at the game. I feel like people would just soon be at home or be wherever and connect to the game with technology while they can also do four or five other things.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
Especially when you're talking about something that's going to take, you know, 4 hours, and then you factor in parking and tailgating. And for me, I feel like it's almost not worth going to the game unless I make it the whole game day thing and do the whole deal.
But even that becomes harder
because then
you're getting to the game later, so it's harder to park, right? It's harder to kind of get in and out. I mean, the best time to get to campus and park is early in the morning before everybody gets there. But then, like you said, you've got to be there all day. So the longer you wait to get to campus, the harder it is to get to campus.
Yeah, they're in a big catch-22. And the pricing's a big part of it, too. Like, there's no way that I will just try and do a Tennessee football game where you kind of come in, park, walk straight to the stadium, do the game, walk right back, get in the car, and go home. Because I feel like I'm already spending enough to park
right.
And on the tickets that if I'm going to do all that, I might as well get there early, spend a few more dollars on some food and some beer, and have a good time.
Yeah. No, I agree.
You know, make
I
a whole
completely.
Day out of it.
I agree.
But
completely.
Then that goes to the schedule. I don't have a lot of Saturdays where I can just make a whole day out of it unless I've blocked them off on the front end. And then, you know, if you're a Tennessee fan, at some point you're like, well, I don't want to watch this crappy team play. I mean, if they were nationally top 15, it'd be
right.
A little different.
Yeah. And then Travis Cabbage makes a good point. The right sizing is to justify the prices being continually raised.
Yeah.
Which is what I was saying earlier. Like, they're calling it right sizing because people aren't willing to pay $100 a ticket and do it, so you've got to make sure that the people who are well taken care of in their, you know, booths and their suites
it's
and their chair
back. I mean, you could
it's put, awful. It's stupid.
You could have a
you're taking actual fans out of the game. I mean, we saw it. Kentucky did it. Kroger Field. Like,
you could have You could have a 150,000-seat stadium and fill it with Tennessee fans if the pricing was less, if there was if in some magical world you could park all those people really conveniently. But the problem is, like, the math on that doesn't work. The logistics on that doesn't work. And so it's actually better to cater to your 80,000 richest fans than to try and have 110 in the stadium.
Yeah.
That where, you know, a lot of them need to be able to come in at a better price point, at a better experience. So, I mean, that's the way it's going to go. It's just going to separate the people that can afford to go to the game and don't care about the actual game as much from the people that want to know see every detail and not spend as much. They're just going to end up staying at home.
And this is what I think will ultimately kind of kill the game, frankly. Like, the money will be there, but the passion will not. You'll lose families and generations of people taking their young, you know, children and grandchildren to games. So then you'll lose the fans that are interested. So by making all this money right now when you can, you're actually killing the future of football. Like, you're phasing people out of the game. You're phasing a large population of people who would normally love Tennessee football right out of the sport.
And the CFO of a TV station said that there's a lack of involvement from college students. We see that, too. The student sections
don't
are
care.
Almost
they just
always
don't give a
empty.
Damn.
He said they no longer view attending sporting events as part of the university experience. And quite frankly, they can experience it on their phone or in the dorm room or, you know, at somebody's house watching it on television. It's the same type of thing. We'll come back, kick off hour number three of the program next. Stick with us right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Kicking off hour number three of the program, and this segment is brought to you by Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out. Check out their area locations, 7 in and around Knoxville, and then in the Carolinas, Chattanooga as well. So if you're down there in the Chattanooga area, check out the Gold's Gym there. You'll be supporting one of our sponsors here, the official gym of Three and Out. Go to goldsgym.com for all the details.
Yeah, just as a member of Gold's Gym, you'll enjoy access to the best coaches, personal trainers, and group exercise instructors in the business. That means access to motivating and knowledgeable experts dedicated to your success. Whatever your goal or experience level, the wide range of fitness classes and offerings that Gold's can offer you can help you reach your goals. And you'll enjoy a supportive community of members who share the same aspirations as you do.
Gold's Goals. We'll call them.
Gold's Goals.
The Gold's Goals.
The Gold's Goals.
You can find out more information by going to goldsgym.com. And as always, if you want to check it out, you can download a free 3-day VIP pass.
VIP pass.
Bum, bum, bum.
Free. Did we mention free?
Twice.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
So, goldsgym.com. Check it out. You know, before I learned more about Gold's Gym, it was always the, you know, they have kind of the hard, like, big powerlifting kind of theme, you know, but really they've changed that up a lot over recent years, and now they're there for you no matter what your goals are.
It's all about fitness.
Gold's Gym, all about fitness, keeping you healthy, and you know, Davey has kind of changed his life as the 12-week challenge winner from a couple of years ago, and it all happened at Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out. Houston, you did it. I just want to congratulate you right now, right off the top here. Hour number three, you have gotten Grant Gunnell to decommit from Texas A&M. We did our strongest segment of the week yesterday, brought to you by Gold's Gym. We went down the list of quarterback targets for Jeremy Pruitt and his staff in 2019. Grant Gunnell has now said, you know what? I love Three and Out. I'm from Houston.
Woo!
I think I'm going to go ahead and back away from my Texas A&M commitment.
Yes. Yes. So he was the one from Houston, huh?
Yo, if you know what I mean,
after
boy.
Much consideration and discussion with my family,
God, yeah.
I feel that I may have committed to Texas A&M a little early.
A little premature.
With the coaching transition, along yeah. with other factors, I feel
yeah.
it is in my best interest to reopen yeah. my recruitment. While Texas A&M is still very much in play, I feel this is the best decision to make at the moment. Thank you, and God bless Houston. I mean, just God bless.
Oh, baby, that feels good.
Yes.
Gunnell only threw for 5,000 yards and 61 touchdowns during his junior season.
5,000? And how many touchdowns?
61.
61? What? That's one season?
That was his junior season.
God! 61 touchdowns!
You want to hear his career numbers?
Yeah! Holy...
Toledo.
Holy... I need a Texas City. Holy...
San Antonio.
Holy Alfredo. Nope, that's not it.
That's Odessa. That's
food.
Holy Odessa, Texas. Good God. Holy peaches and cinnamon. Mercy sakes alive. 60 touchdowns.
During his high school
Caleb
career,
Crawdad.
He's thrown for over 11,000 yards. And... 142 touchdowns.
Go get that man, Jeremy. Jeremy Pruitt. Ah, we have struck oil down in Odessa. Where's he from in Texas? Oh, yeah. Houston.
He's from Houston.
Good. 61 touchdowns as a junior in 5K?
He was committed to Kevin Sumlin now that Jimbo Fisher's in. He's saying, man, maybe I'll reconsider.
He's saying, gosh. Next!
Next! What's his name?
Grant Gunnell. Two N's, two L's.
Grant Gunnell. All right, now I'm getting interested. I wasn't interested. I wasn't sure if I was supposed to be interested, but now I'm starting to get interested now that he's interested.
There's only one little piece of bad news.
Shh, just give me a second.
Okay.
Just give me a second. 4-star. Oh, man, he's 6'6". 2'12". Oh, man alive, he is a giant. Nate?
Yeah?
Oh, look at these offers. Look at these recent offers. Ohio State.
That was the bad news.
Cal.
Ohio State offered on Tuesday. He decommits on Tuesday.
You know, no, we offered him in May of last year. That's fine. I'm in on Grant Gunnell because this guy's going to lead Tennessee to the promised land. He's a giant. He's a big guy. Number two pro ranked quarterback, seventh best player in the state of Texas, 49th best player in the country. And, I mean, you don't throw 61 touchdowns without having a whip. Not in the state of Texas. You don't. This is my guy. I'm all in. I'm committing myself to Grant Gunnell. Grant, if you are listening, please, pal, listen here. We didn't take a quarterback that was ranked very high this year because we had our eyes on you.
Start like an online social media trend funnel for Gunnell, and you just funnel beers.
The funnel for Gunnell.
Funnel for Gunnell to the Vols.
Like money or just like we all drink a bit, like a recruiting,
yeah.
like the challenges.
Yeah.
Like instead of the ice water challenge, we do the funnel for Gunnell challenge.
Yeah, that's
how you get recruits, guys. You want to get a recruit, don't tweet at him. You tweet for him, if you know what I mean. Yeah, funnel for Gunnell. Boom.
Apparently he's going to visit LSU this weekend. With some other teams and stuff.
LSU can't get good quarterbacks.
Laredo, that was the one I was thinking of.
Laredo.
I said Alfredo. I meant Laredo.
You did say Alfredo.
Thanks to Cub Hansen. Nailed it. Grant Gunnell. I am in. I'm in.
I don't know if Tennessee's in it at all.
But we will be.
Because we're going to funnel for Gunnell.
Funnel for Gunnell starts today. Right as I get off the air, I'm cracking a cold one open with the boys, and we're funneling for Gunnell one. Funnel one for Gunnell one.
He has offers from everyone.
Yep, but he could start right away here. Come on.
Oh, no.
What?
24/7 still list is recruited by his Mike Canales.
Well, he was never coming here then. At least now Tyson, who was recruiting him for USC? Who is recruiting him?
No, see that now you're
find
now
USC
you're
on that list.
They,
you're not scrolling at all.
They didn't offer.
What?
It's alphabetical.
What? No, no, they're under S.
They're not on here at all. Tyson Elton. Yeah, that's good though. That means he has a blank slate here. Now that Gunnell has been soured by the Texas A&M recruiting process, Tennessee can ride in and say, "Hey, come be the guy that brings us back."
Yes.
Actually, I hope
Gunnell,
he's on the way back.
I keep wanting to call him Gunnell Keel. The other guy that played in college for 100 years. 61 touchdowns as a junior. That's got to be some kind of state record in Texas. That's six a game in high school. Good God.
142.
Did he ever sit out? Did he ever come out of the game?
Good point. I don't know.
It's like, coach, we're up by 100. Don't care. This kid's going to Tennessee, and we want to put fear into the hearts of the world. Let him throw for infinity yards. Coach, what's the lead need to be for us to take out Gunnell?
142.
He just doesn't say anything because there is no answer. What's his name?
What? Grant Gunnell?
Grant.
Yeah.
Big, I love guys named Grant at Tennessee.
That's the
big
key,
fan of guys named Grant at Tennessee. Grant Williams. Deion Grant. Anthony Grant. Dang it. Dang it. Dang it. Grant. I don't know another one. But those two were good. Deion Grant. Grant Williams. Right? I mean, those are two pretty good Grants.
Yeah, those are really good.
Grant. I don't know another one. But those two, you're two for two when you think about it. Tennessee players named Grant are two for two. So that's why you got to go get this guy and let him throw. I mean, what if he throws for 61 touchdowns here? I mean, think he'd be a hero.
That'd be pretty big.
He could be the next Peyton if you go ahead and get him. I'm excited for this guy to get to Tennessee. Is he an early enrollee? What other information do we have on this cat? Let's see here. He is apparently not an early enrollee, at least not yet.
He can still change his mind. It's early on.
The VIP evaluation on 24/7, I'll give you the first half sentence. Gunnell is a quarterback with the plus size that college coaches covet and with the frame potential. Man, I'm not a member, so that's all I got. Sorry. Who knows?
It's probably 24/7.
It's probably great. The frame potential to be a Heisman winner.
Fill in the blank, yeah.
Player background, 2017, he was a second-team Max Preps junior All-American. Earned a first-team All-State honors. In Texas, pretty good. In 2016, he was a first-team Max Preps sophomore All-American. And was a first-team All-State selection. In 2015, he was a Max Prep second-team freshman All-American. This guy, he's an All-American. I don't know what else to say about him. He is an All-American. There was an article written about him today by Shea Dixon of 24/7 Sports. Says he's visiting LSU soon.
Yeah, that's what I said earlier.
Gunnell and a handful of his 7-on-7 teammates will stop into LSU on their way to a weekend tournament in New Orleans, right around Mardi Gras. Be careful, kids. Please be careful. The nation's number two quarterback prospect and highest-ranked uncommitted quarterback in the 2019 class
there
visited LSU last month for Junior Day, where he joined St. Pius ex-teammate Jalen Curry and IMG Academy running back Noah Cain. IMG Academy, formerly coached by Chris Winkie. Guys, running back, IMG Academy, Noah Cain, Chris Winkie, Tennessee, Grant Gunnell. It's a funnel for Gunnell, okay? On an overnight stay in Baton Rouge, Gunnell's one of the most heavily recruited prospects in the 2019 class, and with his process back open again, LSU, Arkansas, and TCU are some teams beginning to build momentum this offseason.
Just watching some of this guy's tape, and I hate to kill the buzz, but do you know where he would be fantastic at?
What are you doing?
The NFL?
Oklahoma State. Mike Gundy with this
what?
Kid.
Shut up.
Davey.
I hate to do it, but I mean,
it's like an open wound.
Shut up.
Mike Gundy was in the airport and everything.
I'm sorry, but This kid, if he goes to Oklahoma State, he'll be a number one overall pick.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
That's
okay.
So random.
Yeah, because that worked so well for old Tannehill.
He went to A&M.
Oh, yeah. Didn't he transfer or something, though? Who am I thinking of?
Kenny Hill?
No, who was the Oklahoma State quarterback that got to the NFL?
Brandon Wheaton.
Yeah, old guy.
Yeah.
He's like 26 when he went to the draft.
Yeah, how did that work out? Look at Sam Darnold.
He's made good money.
Grant Gunnell, look at Sam Darnold. Who was his quarterback's coach? Boom. Say no more, fam. Grant Gunnell to Tennessee.
You know, we were looking at our digital numbers a couple weeks ago, and there was a weird anomaly. Remember how Houston was way up in the city list? Grant Gunnell.
He might be streaming the show right now.
Yep.
Oh, man. Cub Hansen has given me the behind-the-wall evaluation of Grant Gunnell. Shouts out to the thievery by Cub Hansen. Don't know his real name, and neither do you, so you can't track him down. Take that, Shannon Terry. Gunnell is a quarterback with the plus size that college coaches covet. I read that already. And the frame, potential, and skill sets of a potential. There's a lot of potentials in there. NFL draft pick one day with the right college development. He is very accurate. Oh! Love it when they're accurate. And has put up some very big numbers early on in his prep career. He is just going to continue to get better and better. Little Butch Jones-ish right there. Better and better. As he develops more strength and muscle, because they do not coincide. They are built separately. He has a huge upside, but right now he's an accurate passer with precision. People will sleep on his athleticism, per Greg Powers, 24/7 Sports.
Okay. Wow. Recruiting is going to be a whole lot more fun now. Because I feel like even if Butch Jones signed a top class, it's like, yeah, he'll screw that up. Houston's excited. We'll come back. Hit a quick break.
Deion Grant Gunnell. Grant Gunnell Williams.